This is Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. I'm Aaron Peterson, and I'm going to be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, I would like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to give you an insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. This time, the movie is Hayes. Hayes is director David Berkman's take on fraternity and sorority hazing. So basically, shortly after a pledge has died while being hazed, we follow Nick, a new pledge who takes us through this journey of humiliation, debauchery, and occasionally brotherhood. We also follow Mimi, who's Nick's best friend, and pledges to the affiliate sorority so she can be closer to Nick. Unlike Nick, this doesn't mean as much to Mimi. It's simply a way to keep them together. Now, the film follows both of them as they engage in numerous obstacles, parties, even a little crime now and again, all while forgetting to handle their studies. Eventually, it all leads up to Hell Week. Also, Nick's brother Pete is trying to bust a fraternity, doing anything that will bring them down for reasons that become clearly established as the movie goes on. For this exclusive interview, writer and director David Berkman dropped by to break down his new film and why college hazing was such a personal story for him to tell. We discuss his making the film, as well as how realistic many of these hazing rituals actually are. I wonder if you guys even realize, because I sure didn't, that everything that happens in this movie has happened at some point to someone. Blew my mind. I figured it had to be dramatized to some degree because I wasn't part of that Greek life. This movie will teach you something about fraternity hazing, and I think all I knew to this point was whatever Animal House and PCU told me. So this was quite a wake-up call to what's going on, and as I tell David in the interview, great, great ad for community college. I think you guys are going to really enjoy Hayes, which is now available on video on demand and in selected theaters. And this interview, even more. Without further ado, take a listen to my interview with Hayes writer and director, David Berkman.
Hi, this is David Berkman.
Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for taking the time out to give us a call and talk about Hayes.
Absolutely. No, it's my pleasure.
Well, first thing I ask anybody is when did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Was there like a specific moment in your life where you knew this is what you wanted to do?
That's a great question. I think I was always creative as a child. My mother was a theater professor and also had her own theater company. And so it's sort of a little bit in my blood. But I think growing up, I thought that being a filmmaker was something that only Steven Spielberg could do. It was sort of like this massive enterprise that some giant machine was operating and that I would, you know, it just seemed very impractical. And I had a friend in high school who in college started making films, and I visited him during college, and I saw him making a movie. And that was when it sort of clicked for me that, oh yeah, real human beings can actually make these things. And there's a chance that maybe I could do this. It wasn't really until I applied to and got into film school that I really felt truly empowered, because for me, I needed that structure to build my confidence again and continue to along that path. That was kind of the origin for me.
So how did you get into, like, how did you break into Hollywood, so to speak?
Well, I don't know that I ever really did break into Hollywood, frankly. your podcast is a very apt title. I am in some respects a true Hollywood outsider. Although I tried many times, I went to USC film school and I stuck around LA for a couple of years afterwards. I had a thesis film that did rather well. It was on the Independent Film Channel. I worked with a manager for a time, but I got very impatient, with the whole process, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, I think, just an independent minded person, and I feel very passionate about my own creativity and the authenticity of that creativity. And I just found it very troubling how long the wait was for everything, and how sort of a lot of my ideas that I was really excited about in the beginning sort of were twisted into something very other and very different than I originally imagined them to be. And so I actually ended up leaving the Hollywood universe and pursued film really on a very purely independent level. And occasionally I've been lured and drawn back by various little moments of success where it seems like, you know, when you're sort of showing signs of success, that's when all of the powers that be in Hollywood start paying attention to you again. And then mm-hmm. you sort of feel sucked back into that world. But I have always found myself happiest when I'm kind of doing it independently.
I'm a big fan of the independent world. It's just, there's a lot more creativity, I think, involved in it, and definitely a lot more struggle for for you guys trying to get your movies made. But I love it when you can get to the point where what you dreamed of is here. I think that's a great moment.
I agree.
So your movie, Haze, what a great ad for community college this movie is.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. I made the movie as a movie, you know. Mm-hmm. Haze is, it's a dark film about fraternity and sorority hazing, but it also deals with, you know, themes of the nature of brotherhood, the nature of friendship, the lengths to which we as humans will go to belong, the sort of odd attraction we have to both inflicting suffering on each other, but also an odd desire to manufacture a certain measure of suffering for ourselves. And it was a happy accident that that my alma mater caught wind of it and invited us to screen the film on the college campus at Indiana University in front of an audience of about 300 plus fraternity and sorority members. And since then, we've screened the film on over 50 college campuses, all sponsored by Greek Life. It's been a journey because some of those universities and some of those student bodies have been very welcoming, and the conversations and discussions that have happened in the aftermath of screening the film have been very productive. And then there are other schools where it's been sort of fascinating to watch the reaction. There have been several schools where, and it's strange that this sort of happened at multiple campuses. Everyone would stay for the entire film, seemed very, you know, gripped by the movie, and the movie would end. And they knew the conversation was about to start, and all of the men would stand up and leave, and the women would stay for the discussion.
No,
Really? And there was one situation I remember very clearly where the men got up to leave, and several women stood up and started yelling at the men, saying, "You need to come back. This is about you." So it was very heated at times, and it's definitely striking a chord. There's a lot of denial out there, but hazing, as you know, all you have to do is pick up the paper. Read about the recent deaths to know that this is an epidemic. And so we're very happy that the film has opened some eyes, hopefully. But again, it's a movie, just like any other. And we hope that it's very entertaining, but that it also makes people clearly feel a lot and makes people think.
Funny story. I didn't experience the fraternity portion of college. I was, you know, too busy trying to raise kids and go to college. But
sure.
I asked some friends that did experience it, and they said, yeah, a lot of this stuff happens. Some fraternities are worse than others, obviously. But it was shocking to me how true some of this was. And I want to come back to that here in a minute. But first, I kind of want to know, why was this the story you even wanted to tell? I mean, you're finally getting your first feature off the ground. Why was this story important to you?
Yeah, well, I think that every movie I've made, for the most part, has had some basis in my own life experience. I tend to tell fictional stories, but stories sort of that are semi-autobiographical. And ever since my own experience pledging a fraternity in college and being fairly heavily hazed, I sort of earmarked that as great fodder. I knew that there was something there to write about. And I've always recognized that, you know, Hollywood has been fascinated with Greek life ever since Animal House, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been, it's almost a genre unto itself, Greek life movies. But they also tend to be skewed towards comedy. And they treat hazing as a sort of innocuous, frivolous, sort of boys will be boys kind of funny thing. And I thought there was a space for a more realistic, authentic, and darker take on the subject matter based on my own experience. But we did spend almost 2 years doing pretty exhaustive research, talking to a lot of people about their experiences in Greek life and particularly about their hazing experiences. And we interviewed people who were currently in college all the way up to people in their 80s. And what we found was that the stories they told us were like telling me back my own experience. It was really fascinating to see how common the stories were and how similar they were, whether this happens today or whether it happened, you know, 50, 60 years ago. Down to extreme detail. And so I knew I had something that was going to resonate with a lot of people, but that was sort of like the origin of the idea. But then I didn't really have a narrative structure to the thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I sort of lighted upon this idea basing the film on Greek myth. I started reading about Greek mythology. My mother is a professor and she does a lot with Greek mythology. And I know she bases a lot of her work on Greek mythology. And So I started reading, and I read Euripides the Bacchae, which is basically about, you know, Dionysus, which is the god of wine, revelry, and ecstasy. And he seemed like the perfect framing device for Greek life and fraternity and sort of bacchanalia. And that was when it kind of finally all clicked in. And I knew, okay, this is what I'm going to make this basically a modern retelling of sort of ancient Greek myth. And it'd be kind of fun to base a movie about Greek life on Greek mythology. And that was kind of how it all came together.
That's really interesting.
The other thing I'll say too, really quickly, is that, you know, when you make an independent film, mm-hmm. you would think that I would have been wise enough to know that, you know, with limited resources, I should have written a script. This is my first feature. I should have written a script, you know, that had one location and four actors, you know, and no, of course I had to go and write a fraternity movie. We ended up having 500 people in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an unbelievable beast. And my wife and producing partner and I often watch the movie even to this day. And we just look at it and we say, how the hell did we pull this off? I don't even get it. Because we had almost no, it was almost a zero budget movie. So I wrote myself a little bit into a corner with there, but somehow we managed to pull it off.
Yeah, a couple of awesome parties in those scenes too. So hopefully you got some partying in between takes or something.
It was all O'Doul's.
Yeah.
No real beer.
Of course. The one thing, before I get to the actual hazing part of it, what I found interesting is the film is shot almost documentary style in a lot of aspects and found footage and others. And I want to, for people listening, I want to stress, because some people are, you know, they burned out on found footage and whatnot. And I was worried about that going in, but it really sucked me in as I adjusted to it, because it feels like you're more there. You're more in the moment. You're more experiencing what these kids are going through. Why did you decide to shoot this way versus a more traditional film style?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that there are probably two answers to that question. One is just budgetary constraints, right? Mm-hmm. We shot on older cameras that didn't have detachable lenses, so we didn't need focus pullers. We shot multicam. And the choice to do that was we knew we were going to have to be run and gun. We had so many people involved in the production, so many cast members, so many extras, so many moving parts that we just weren't going to have the time to shoot this, you know, like a Stanley Kubrick film. We just were not going to have the lights and the equipment and the tools necessary. So some of it was budgetary.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also felt like this was a form follows function choice that, again, we wanted to create this incredible sense of authenticity, and we made a commitment and a promise to ourselves that everything that we did in the making of this movie was going to be in the service of the real. So from the camera work, feeling almost like you're present, you're there, fly on the wall, watching these things happening, down to casting, where we made a promise we were not going to do the sort of Hollywood thing where you cast 35-year-olds to play 18-year-olds. we were going to cast 18-year-olds to play 18-year-olds, and we did. And so we shot in a real fraternity house. Some of the time there were guys living in the house during the time we were filming, and we even pulled them into the movie. So we had real fraternity brothers who were living in the house while we were shooting, who were extras in the film. But all of these elements were coming together in service of that authenticity, and the camera work and the editing style were all a part of that decision.
It really works. The chaotic nature of a lot of scenes feels more like you're in the moment, a lot more realistic in many ways. So I really got into it. Let's talk about the hazing. All of this hazing.
Sure.
How much would you say, there are a lot of crazy things that happen in this movie. How much of this would you say is actually true or happened to somebody, maybe you or someone you know, versus this is just dramatized?
With some slight variation on the actual narratives that were either told to us, that we read about, or that I personally experienced, 100% of it is accurate and true. I would say about 80% of it is something that I experienced personally.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not my own experience alone. It was my experience and the experience of probably hundreds of, if not thousands of other people who go through very similar kinds of experiences. And it's kind of, I can understand why somebody outside of Greek life, or somebody who might be in Greek life but in a fraternity and sorority that doesn't haze or only hazes lightly, would watch this film and feel like, no, that doesn't seem right. That doesn't mm-hmm. seem true. I can't believe that it's this intense, that it's like this. And I can understand that, because again, not every fraternity or sorority does haze, and not every fraternity and sorority hazes to the degree to which we experience in the film. But I will say this, as shocking as a lot of the things are in the movie, I think that what you watch in this film is falls somewhere towards a sort of middle to sort of like towards the higher end of the spectrum, but it's not the worst of the worst. There are stories we heard that we just didn't even know how to stage, and that would have been too much for the movie, and it would have probably been impossible to even watch. All you have to do is read Caitlin Flanagan's article in The Atlantic about the Tim Piazza death that happened at Penn State this past year, and the details of what was actually caught on surveillance camera, what happened to him. And, you know, if that was reproduced in a film, I think that it would be unwatchable. So, and the other caveat I will say is that, you know, these were a collection of stories and narratives that we combined into one film. So sometimes when you know, these are things that definitely happen on college campuses mm-hmm. somewhere. So when you put them all into one movie, then it can sometimes feel like, wow, that's a lot. But I think we were, again, really trying to service the real and be as authentic as we could. And stuff happens, and there isn't one thing in the movie that hasn't happened somewhere.
Would you go back, if you could go back to your former self, would you do this again? Would you go through this hazing process again? Or do you look at it in a different light now?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, if I had the exact brain I have at this present moment and it was, you know, surgically implanted into the body of myself back when I was going off to college, I can't imagine doing this again, because when I was going through it with an 18-year-old mind, you know, I felt just like most 18-year-olds going off to school. I felt immortal. You know, I didn't feel vulnerable. I felt like everything we were going through was perfectly safe. You know, I mean, I guess I knew there were some risks, but you don't really think that you're going to be really seriously hurt or that you could die doing these things. But thinking back on it now, I realize, my gosh, I mean, there were many times where I could have died, certainly of alcohol poisoning. If nothing else, there were other harmful things that I had to do that could have caused injury, harm, or death. And so, yeah, I'd be crazy to do it again. But I'll also say that, you know, thinking back on it, it was a very memorable, profound, exciting time. And I think that being hazed, I get it. I kind of get it, because it's thrilling. You feel very alive. I sort of liken it to the experience that you have when you go see a horror film or you go on an amusement park ride and you're tossed upside down. You know, there's something in the human being that craves this sense of danger, because I think it triggers that fight or flight mechanism to go off. And in a very safe, comfortable, privileged world where we all kind of don't have to suffer that much, there's just something in us that requires to sort of manufacture these moments of fear and sort of put your face right up against death, but without feeling like you really are in jeopardy. And I think that's what, for a lot of young people, the hazing experience is like. It's like going on an amusement park ride. You know, again, if I were 18, I'd probably do it again. If I had the brain I have now, I don't think I would. But I certainly understand that person who did it, and I understand the people who do it today.
Yeah, that was one thing that I got from the movie, is that I got a good understanding for why you would or would not partake in hazing. It's an interesting dynamic. How did you get the sorority take on it?
You know, believe it or not, I mean, a lot of what you see in the film that takes place with the sorority, I mean, apart from the stuff that's just behind their closed doors, there's a lot of things in the movie, without spoiling it, that's about the interaction between the fraternity and the sorority, right? And the way in which the relationships between the men and the women sort of have a very sexualized, you know, nature, and they serenade each other in these very sort of twisted ways. That all was from my experience, because I was in contact with the sororities and drew from my own, you know, encounters with the sororities when I was in the fraternity. What goes on behind the closed doors were, again, just narratives that were told to me, whether they were by women who I knew, who I went to college with, who told me about what they experienced when they were in their sorority, or other women who just were a part of our research. And some of that research was talking to our cast members who were in sororities, who brought some of their own experiences to the table. You know, I wrote the screenplay, but then the screenplay evolved a little bit through the casting process and then through even the shooting process, because we tried to incorporate some of the stories that the people who were at that moment in college told us. And so a lot of women told me about some of the things they went through, and we ended up writing that into the script and shooting it.
Well, speaking of your actors, you've got a really solid group of young actors. How did you prepare them for the hazing life? Did you put them through any activities prior to filming, or just to, so that they could experience those that weren't already experienced in it?
We did do a little bit of that. I mean, obviously, in very, very safe ways. The thing that stands out to me is, you know, we had a group of 8 pledges in the film that we're going to go through the pledging process. And the movie sort of charts that entire experience. And one of the things in the movie is a scavenger hunt. And so we, in the rehearsal period, which was a very long, extensive, exhaustive rehearsal period, I gave the 8 guys who were playing the pledges, which include our lead actor, a video camera. And I said, all right, guys, here's a list of stuff you have to go out and do and find in the real world. And you have to film it all. And you have to come back so that we have video evidence that you actually did the things on the list. And this was anything from, you know, going into Georgetown and in the middle of M Street right there in broad daylight, drop down and do 20 push-ups on the sidewalk, or go up to a random young woman and serenade her by singing like a Backstreet Boys song or something really cheesy. Mm-hmm. So little embarrassing things that they had to do. And it was an exercise to get them to understand what a little bit about what being in a fraternity was like, but also to get these 8 guys who didn't know each other to bond. So in a way, we sort of replicated the whole theory behind what hazing is, right? Which is that if you go through these things together, you're going to become brothers. You're going to bond. You're going to become friends. And honestly, it does. I mean, it does work. And these guys felt much more comfortable with each other going into production. The filming itself was of course, you know, being with limited resources, you know, it's a rough ride, and it's a hard process. And our cast and crew were incredible. I mean, they were they bonded very, very quickly to each other. And honestly, we got very lucky, because I'll be very forthright. Nobody was paid on this film. Mm-hmm. We were so low budget, we couldn't afford. We were non-union across the board, both cast and crew. And everybody was working on this as a labor of love, including myself. So we on day one, we shot, you know, with probably 100 people in this frat house. It was sweaty and hot and gross and disgusting. And again, my wife and producing partner and I thought, my God, after 12 hours doing this, tomorrow we're going to get the set and nobody's going to be here. It's just going to be like tumbleweeds. And lo and behold, we got back to the set on day 2 and everyone came back. And I think it was because it felt kind of like summer camp. It kind of felt like a fraternity and sorority of sorts in itself. These young people all were really connected with each other. They really bonded. I think they wanted to spend time with each other, and they were just having such a great time that that was the glue that sort of held us together. And to this day, a lot of those actors have gone on to do other things with each other. They, I think, emboldened each other. You know, we shot the film in and around the Washington, D.C. area. So these actors were not local to L.A. or New York, but many of them, I think, became very close and moved in with each other and moved out to New York or LA. And now the vast majority of them live in one of those 2 cities and are pursuing a career in acting.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
For no budget, you have a very talented group of actors. Like there's a couple you can see shining stars right there. I mean, just in their performance. So
thank you.
You've talked a lot about the whys and the why nots in relation to great Greek traditions and fraternity hazing. I'm kind of curious, do you have an opinion on it? I mean, now you've experienced so much going to campuses, going through it, seeing people that have gone through it. Like, is there a place for this element of fraternities, or is it something that should just go away like some people think?
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I mean, I'm not, you know, a policymaker. I'm a mm-hmm. filmmaker and an artist, right?
Absolutely.
So it's just a tough question because, again, when I set out to make the film, and this is still probably what is at the core of things for me, is the movie and or any film that I make is really about asking other people the question, right? I don't feel that it's up to me to decide the answers. I think that it's really about starting the conversation and getting people thinking about these things on every level, not just the specifics of fraternity and hazing, but also just to watch the movie and sort of ponder some of the deeper questions that transcend Greek life that I think are buried within the themes of the film. Again, things about friendship and loyalty and brotherhood and what does it mean to be a friend, and how do we form friendships, and do you need to go through difficult things in order to be friends with someone, and all these kinds of things. Now that said, I won't sidestep the question. I think that the things that fraternities and sororities do that put people in real jeopardy need to stop. Of mm-hmm. course. I mean, we don't want to see people die. I don't want to see people psychologically damaged or physically damaged. And I think another profound experience in my life was I did go to summer camp for many years, and the theme of that camp was the same theme of a fraternity and sorority. It was all about unity and bonding and bringing everybody together. And the kinds of things that we did at that camp were 100% safe, and they were about building people up and making them feel good, not breaking them down and making them feel bad. And so I've also evidenced firsthand methodologies that do work to create the same outcome and goal that a fraternity and sorority has, but they're all healthy, safe, positive things. And I think that if there's a way to educate Greek life about those alternative methodologies to achieve their same goal, that we could, you know, we could really ratify and change the way those organizations operate. And I think that would be a great thing and a great outcome. And I think that watching the film Haze for that population specifically is clearly a first step, because mm-hmm. I think that especially for young people, like just leaving to go off to college, like high school seniors who are contemplating whether or not what they're going to do when they go away from home and get to school, you know, to see this movie and have their eyes kind of open to what they may or may not encounter, I think will probably increase and improve bystander intervention. It'll probably I'm hoping that it does change things a little bit. And I just hope that a lot of people see the movie for that reason too.
Okay. I know a lot of people probably will ask you like awful hazing stories and stuff. I want to know what's the most fun hazing thing you were experienced or heard about? Like that just was the best time.
That's a great question. I mean, I think that our scavenger hunt was a lot of fun, even though we had to steal things and destroy property. At the time, it just felt like a joke. And it was very thrilling. It involved women, and that was always nice. So it was a rush. It was a blast. I had a great time. But I'll say this too, like even the scarier stuff at the time, like I say, felt like a thrill. It was all very, I look back on that period of time with sort of embarrassment and a little concern for my younger self. But I also, if I'm really honest, I also look back on that time and that experience as one of the more memorable experiences. And I truthfully am friends to this day with many of the guys I went through that experience with. Not that I'm not friends with other people who I didn't go through that experience with. Right. So I'm not advocating that everybody needs to be hazed in order to have friends, but I think that it's a mixed bag and it's very complex.
That would be great if you did advocate that though. So what's next for you? Do you have another project lined up, or are you still dealing with promotion and dealing with the release currently?
Yeah, currently it's mostly all about promotion. We just released on all platforms this past Tuesday. We're also on a big theatrical tour. We did all our own theatrical, but Gravitas Ventures has put out the movie on iTunes and Amazon, Google Play, and all the other digital platforms and cable on demand. We're also releasing a DVD and a Blu-ray on October 31st. So people can find the film right now, and we're doing everything we can just to get the word out, because, you know, we do have, again, just as when we made the film, very limited resources, and it's just all going to be about word of mouth and grassroots. I'm a part of the theatrical tour. I'm doing Q&As in about 8 different cities, including Los Angeles. We have a screening tonight, and I'll be there. And then it's hard for me to even think past all of that, but of course I really do need to hopefully get a chance in the coming months to get some distance on this project and start thinking about the new world I'd like to create and the next one.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I know I ran over a little bit what our time was, but thanks so much for coming by, man. I really enjoyed the movie, and it made me think about things I hadn't thought about, which is always a good thing, especially in filmmaking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on. It was great talking to you, and thanks again.
All right. Well, best of luck on the release. You take care.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, that was my interview with writer-director David Berkman. The film is Haze. It is now available on video on demand. You can go to Amazon or any other video on demand provider and watch the movie right now. I really recommend it. It's a fun film, but it's also kind of a scary film. I would say if you're a parent, it might be even a horror film, but definitely check it out. I really enjoyed it. It's an interesting and hard film to watch at times, because the fact that we allow this in our society to continue to some degree concerns me, and in another degree makes me feel good about the human condition, because there is an element of brotherhood or sisterhood involved with fraternities and sororities, and I think that's important as well. So there's a fine line, and I'm sure most fraternities and sororities walk it, but Hayes kind of shows you the extreme edge of some of the other ones. Okay, once again, thanks for listening to the Hollywood Outsider podcast. We try to bring you interviews with filmmakers in the world of independent cinema whenever we can, so I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your podcast app of choice. If you subscribe, you can get these guaranteed as soon as they drop. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is always available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or the fine podcast places that I already named. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head to the theater or sit comfortably on your couch and watch Hayes, or maybe even watch it doing a keg stand, whatever you're into, buy popcorn.